We do bands, we do DJs, we do national acts, we do speed painters, character artists. We do the craziest things. If you think it, we've got it. And if we don't have it, we'll find it. We will not disappoint. That is our promise and commitment to everyone.
And have a freezing day.
Hi, this is Cindy Durbich, owner and CEO of Breezin Entertainment and Productions. Thanks for joining us today on Breezin Chats. Joining me today is Jesse Spolinski and Michael Durbich.
How are you doing, Cindy?
I'm good. Super, super excited today. Today, we are going to be chatting with one of our Breezin Magazine's Behind the Hustle 40 Under 40 finalist, Jen McDonald. Really excited because today is the first 40 Under 40 that we are doing a podcast with. We will start by discussing her journey on how she got started in the insurance field and talk about some of the obstacles and great accomplishments she has had throughout the way. We also will hear some insights of what's going on with her in the near future. Hey, Jen.
Hey, Cindy. Thanks for having me.
Yes, and I'd like to also, I'm going to turn over and ask Jesse to join in. And Jesse has never really spent much time with you, so we thought that would be great. She's watched you out and about and knows that I know you a little bit better, being over at South Tampa Chamber for many, many years now. And I've always admired you and been watching, and she's now on the board of directors at the South Tampa Chamber. And I just was very, very excited that you were one of our 40 Under 40s. It was a process that I was proud of, and thank you for sharing in that.
Well, thank you for having me. Thank you for the
honor. I was really excited, and I was telling Cindy this earlier, was because I've known you for so long in throughout the chamber, but I could have never told you what you did for a living. Or you could have told me, and I didn't even know what that meant. So this is like a really great opportunity for me to really understand what it is that you do and all the different things that you're involved in the community. And I know when I read the article in their magazine, I had no clue even the vast other things that you're a part of, everything from being involved in the Hyde Park Dog Park Association to running it for a local office. So I'm just really excited to kind of get to know you. So I just want to first start off, where were you born? Where are you from? Where'd you go to school?
Sure. So I was born and raised, I was born outside of Philadelphia and raised in the city from a very young age, and went to all of my education years in the city of Philadelphia from kindergarten all the way up through college, rode the subway and the bus to school every day in high school and college.
Wow. Very different from Tampa.
Yes. That we have like no transportation.
Right.
Uber.
I actually asked for about subways when I first moved here, and they all laughed and they said they'd be submarine waves because you'd be underwater.
That's a good one.
I actually was moved here after college by a job opportunity. So I was very lucky to get that opportunity. I wanted to experience another part of the world. I had lived my whole life in Philadelphia, interned one summer in Dallas, Texas, realized from that experience that I didn't know very much about the rest of the world. And so when I graduated college, I decided to backpack Europe for 2.5 months. So I self-funded that.
Yeah. I wish I would have done that after college.
It was definitely eye-opening. I got to experience many parts of Western Europe and some of Eastern Europe while I was over there. And I was also accepted the job before I left to come here and move away to see another part of the country and learn a little bit something about that. So
now, what did you go to school for? What did you study when you were in college?
So super geeky. I went to school and I didn't know what I was going to do. I was an undecided business major, and I got there and I had all of my intro to everything classes in the business school, and I fell in love with this class. I would go every day in a room full of 100 people, and I would sit there third row up dead center, and I would have a conversation with the professor all class long, which I didn't realize at the time was driving everybody else nuts.
You were that girl in front asking questions.
I could not help myself. And I just loved it. And it was the intro to risk management and insurance. And Professor Regan was a fantastic inspiration for me. And she really coached me and helped me out with some other opportunities that year. She asked me over spring break to to work on a research paper and do some research for her over my spring break time. So I did that, which was a fantastic experience as well, because I learned about researching and how to write the notes and all the footnotes and where I pulled all the documentation from. So that was, it was a good experience, and it also gave me more insurance, like, geeky knowledge to use.
That's awesome. And yeah. So that kind of led into the internship, which kind of led you for your job opportunity and moved you here into Tampa.
Exactly. It all kind of came out of that relationship. So she talked to me about the major. I joined the major. They have a professional organization in that major. So I joined that professional organization. Became an officer there. As you can tell,
you're a very underachiever your whole life, basically.
My whole life, yeah. There's a group or an organization that I should be involved with that's involved in something I'm interested in. I'm usually there. So, so that's how I ended up with the internships, and including the Dallas internship. And then how I also ended up here in Tampa was through that organization and the connections I made working for them.
Is this the same job that you came down for that you're still working for?
No, it's not. Actually, 10 years into working for the Travelers, they came in and made an announcement that they were moving the roles that I had held there out of state. And I made a conscious decision on the spot as they were announcing this to a room full of employees who were very upset and thinking, how are they going to move? That I wasn't. That Tampa was my home. I loved it here. And there's really no reason for me to leave. So instead of giving any other person the opportunity to make me leave Tampa, I made a conscious decision to go out and start this bit small business that operates within another business. So I work with Merchant Insurance. They are good friends of mine. And I hold my book within their agency for my insurance business. And I now am the maker of my own destiny. So that's nobody awesome. Else can make me leave Tampa now.
Is that like a broker? Are you kind of the broker?
Kind of like you hold a license. So they're an agency and I'm an agent. So,
got it.
Sorry to cut you off. So they're an agency and I'm an agent. I just happen to work from home in Tampa. So,
nice. Yep. So you create your own hours, create your own schedule. If you want to go to Africa for a couple of weeks on a vacation, you can, like, you're going on soon.
Yes. So, I mean, my clients do ultimately make up my schedule.
Of course.
Yep.
Yep,
you have to think about it. It's an entrepreneur.
Yes, right. I'm an entrepreneur.
It's cut out to be.
Yeah.
Never really any vacation time.
Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. So, I do make my own schedule, though. So a lot of times when people do paperwork during the day at their jobs, when they have a desk job, I spend my days meeting with clients, meeting with people, driving initiatives. And then I spend those like weird hours at night writing up all of the documentation, organizing things, sending submissions in, so that the first thing in the morning when my carriers who write the insurance policies for me get in, I'm the last thing that's coming to their inbox, so they see it first thing in the morning.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't plan it that way. It just happens to work out with the way that I run my schedule.
That's a great tactic. But
yeah. So
we used to send those emails, and people thought we were cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
Yeah,
she's really up at 2 o'clock.
Yeah, I had to start drafting my emails and then just sending them first thing in the morning, so that people were like, "Wow, they really make you work all hours of the day." And it's just, you know, when you're up and you're thinking about things, it's just easy to just
knock it out.
So I start drafting and then sending.
And then we have to remember to hit the send button.
I know. That's the big one, too. Make sure you hit the send button. But I do have, we have great staff at the agency. So Merchant has some wonderful people that they've hired that are fantastic. And I trust them with my clients and my book. And so just the way that they run the agency, it's important to me that I can have that trust in place.
So they support you.
Yes. And I will admit, 2 weeks away with no computer is... definitely got me very nervous. I'm all over trying to make sure everything I can make sure is taken care of before I go. And all of my renewals between now and the time I come back are pretty much taken care of in place. And most of the new business is getting wrapped up over the next 2 days. So I'm in really good shape, but it's because I'm just one of those people. I like
And just to remind the listeners, we had this conversation before we actually got started, but Jen is going on an amazing opportunity on a trip of a lifetime to go to Africa.
I am. It's 2 years in the making, actually, too. Wow. So my best friend and I are going on a safari in South Africa, and then we're going from South Africa to Tanzania, where we're going to hike Mount Kilimanjaro over the course of 6 days. We're going to summit on day 5 and then spend a day and a half hiking down Kilimanjaro. But yeah, it's a really... big endeavor.
Have you had to train for anything to do this?
So the biggest thing is being physically fit and able to walk for 5 to 6 hours per day. The hardest or worst part about the hike on Kilimanjaro is the altitude sickness that can occur. Mm-hmm. So the number one thing that they teach you is to walk really, really, really slow. So that's the focus, is to slow down.
And we live in Tampa, so we got, you know, we know that our level for
sea level,
sea level is pretty low. So we definitely don't know what it's like to be in any kind of sort of extreme heights like that.
That's it. And so that's the one thing that that people fail because of the height altitude sickness.
So how do you train for that?
You can't really train here in Florida unless you go elsewhere and just go hike smaller mountains.
Hang out in Colorado or something.
Exactly. So we did take the precaution and both end up going to our doctors to make sure we could get altitude sickness pills so we could start taking that. Apparently that does help. And it's just having guides who you trust who are able to make sure you're going slow enough.
Now, will you be with guides that, like a group, or is it a private guide?
So we are booked to go with a group. There can be up to 10 people in our group. Our guides, there are guides that will go with us. We have one porter who helps with carrying all of our equipment up the mountain, and then there are cooks and other medic folk who are also go with us. So there's porters who manage a lot of the stuff, and you focus on the hike and keeping yourself well and healthy as you make the hike.
Is that why you wouldn't have a glass of wine with our Chads?
Well, it is, because I'm just trying to, like, you know, make sure that I'm ready for this big endeavor, and I don't want to do anything that could potentially, like, cause me to risk my health. So nothing that'll even give me a spark of a cold or anything going into it, because this is a big, important trip. Yeah,
it's huge. That's it's super exciting. I want to go to Africa. That's on my bucket list.
As mine too.
Yeah,
my husband has no.
Then I guess it'd be
desire. So I'm like, I'll have to go with a friend.
Yes,
that's what. Where's your friend from?
So Liza's from Tampa. She grew up in Port Richey. She now owns a horse farm in Dade City. We met through a young women's professional organization called Echoes. She's now the president of that organization. Actually, funny story of how we got into this crazy trip. We were at the Dress for Success a fashion show, and I did not have a paddle because I came in as a participant in the fashion show and then went to my seat, and she had a paddle, and they started auctioning off these trips to Africa. And that they called out a number, and they said, everybody who's in at their number, keep your hand up. And they started going table to table, going, you're going to Africa, you're going to Africa, you're going to Africa. And I got up and ran from my table across the room to her table, and I talked her into splitting the cost using her paddle, and we would split the cost and go together on the safari. So it was just how
we
That is a great story.
Well,
you mentioned obviously the organizations and Dress for Success. Tell me a little bit about, like, all the other outside organizations that you currently belong to and the different associations.
Yep. So I am past president of Historic Hyde Park Neighborhood Association. I help them through a volunteer role now, but I've stepped down from that board. Just there's a lot of things going on, and so I had to pick and choose. And so I step back, but then I get called in to do all of the things that I'm good at doing. So I help with ad sales on Home Tour and organizing things for our galas. I'm also involved in Working Women of Tampa Bay. I'm an ambassador for Jessica. I'm a South Tampa Chamber of Commerce Board of Director. Oh my goodness, there's so many things and I can't even think of all of them. I'm on the Hillsborough County Citizens Advisory Committee, and we do projects for Mike Merrill's office and for the county commissioners. We can bring citizens projects forward and go through them for vetting for future projects and recommendations to the county commission. So it's a pretty important role. I was just appointed to in January.
Wow, that's awesome. How do you get appointed to something like that? Because of your interest in that organization?
Yes, I've become friends with some of the county commissioners just through meeting them out and about and the work that I've done in the community. And one of them called me and said I was reviewing the appointments that I needed to make, and I saw this role and I thought of you and I thought you would be a great fit. What I'd like you to do is go to the website. Here's where it is. Take a look at the role and think about how you would fit into this space on this committee. And if you're interested, let's go forward. And I went and looked it up and I was like, wow, this is awesome. And
had your name all over it.
I'm excited. Yeah, I was really excited about it. Because you get to see a variety of projects and things that'll come through. So from not just the commission and not just the county administrator, but also from the citizens. So it's kind of a neat space to be in.
Somebody wants a beautification project or a new park or something like that. Those are the kind of things that they would ask for. Is it more like roads or
It's any and every. It can be any and everything. And then we go to the commissioners and we speak with them. We make a recommendation. Mm-hmm. You know, should we look at this or should they take this? If it belongs with an MPO, should they take this to the MPO and present it? So if somebody comes to us with an issue, we can then direct them out if there's a more appropriate board or committee that would be overseeing it too. So.
And I also know you do something with HCC, and tell me a little bit more about what that's all about.
Yep. So Jessica Ravelli introduced me to Beth and Andy over at
Hills. I love them.
I know they're fantastic.
They're good people. Oh,
They are the center of the entrepreneurial incubator universe in Tampa here. They are just so fantastic. And when I met them, I didn't know that. But Jessica said they're teaching entrepreneurs and they'd like somebody to come talk about insurance, property and casualty. That's what I do. Will you go meet with them? And I met with Beth and I said, oh yeah, I'll come in and do like a little ditty, a little like intro 101 thing for your entrepreneurial students. How long do I have? And she gave me about an hour. And so I went in and taught it the first time, I think 4 years ago now. And I wrote this outline, and I still have that same outline I carry with me when I go into the classrooms today to teach it. And it took me about an hour, 30 minutes to an hour to do the lesson, which I probably spoke a little too quickly through because I was just excited. And then I took questions, and all these entrepreneurs in the room, you know, they ask specific questions about their businesses. I don't know what they do before I go into that room. So I walk into the classroom, everybody's in their entrepreneurial class, and I teach like what property insurance is, what general liability insurance is, what auto is, what workers' comp is, what professional liability and all the pieces around that are, and what an excess policy does. And I break down how each functions in its own little silo and show them how when one should apply, another one isn't gonna react, right? That's like the lesson in high level. And then I say, do you have any questions? And of course, right?
All the hands
go up. And nobody knows. I have no clue what these people do or what their ideas are.
Yeah.
And they're every one of their ideas. And they want to ask very specific questions. So it's fun for me because I get to have these moments where it's like round robin. And it's like, what's going to come at me next, right? But I can answer because I've had, you know, 10 years of underwriting all kinds of crazy things. And now I'm 6 years into selling and talking to every type of business under the sun. And so I'll think through it. And sometimes I'll be thinking through one. And I'll say, we'll come back to this. Let's keep moving. And I'll be answering questions over here. And I'll be also inadvertently answering questions to a totally unrelated business over here as a similar type of exposure. Like, why would this apply or why wouldn't it? Or someone over here, I'll trigger with another question, a secondary question on this one. And suddenly it's like, okay, and here's the, and then it like triggers me to, oh yeah, and then this is how this also relates back over here. And so we jump around the room. It's fun.
It's amazing. HCC, I got an opportunity to speak for them as well in the hospitality classes. But for you on the entrepreneurship side, these people are either in business, want to do business, they're more mature. Like their goals are not basic coming out. Most of them have a goal, know what they want to do. And this is a class they're taking to get them to their next step.
Exactly. And the goal, like my goal in the classroom is really to give them a knowledge base. Because when you go to buy insurance, if your agent doesn't take the time to do this with you in that moment, then when else will you know it, right?
When you're in trouble.
Exactly.
You don't want to have to know it.
Yeah. Exactly.
And then somebody gave you bad advice and you don't have the right policies.
Exactly. And that's the thing I talk about is, you know, insurance is one tool in what I call the risk management toolbox. And so sometimes we talk about risk management tactics versus insurance. When to self-insure, when to purchase insurance, and also, like, self-insuring by making a decision, by making an informed decision where you've gone through the process and thought through all of the risk and what the outcomes would be and how you would navigate that risk if something negative happened. And then insurance, self-insurance by default and how dangerous that is, right? And that's kind of what the class is geared towards, is teaching people that you may not always buy a policy, but you need to have thought through the exposure that you have. And it's so fun because when you see the light bulbs go off in these business owners' minds, you realize they're never going to not see that. They're never going to not understand that concept again. It's always just going to be there that they know. You know, when I buy auto, that's for vehicles. When I buy general liability, that's for slip and fall. When I buy work comp, that's for injured employee. Like they just know. And I'll see people in public and go, so what does work comp do? And I quiz them. And they know. They go, oh, that's for injured employees. I'm like, yes.
Jen told me
that. It's someone's listening.
Yeah.
Someone's listening. But that's amazing.
Have you seen that class grow at all in the 4 years you've been there?
So they have. Their program has grown in the time that I've been there. And they've also brought me into other programs. So they have a what's called Veterans Entrepreneurship Training Symposium that they put on once or twice a year. And they also have Operation Startup, which is down in the Mark Sharp Center at the ECC in Ybor City. Mm-hmm. And I teach there now monthly. And that class varies in size from like 4 or 5 people up to 20 people, depending. And that's just something that I do for fun. Again, it's for fun. And a lot of times it's a property manager who's been running a property for a while and doesn't understand some concept, and they come in and they're like, whoa, I had no idea. And now they know, right? And they know how to review what they've got in front of them. Or I get to see all kinds of cool businesses, though. My job is so cool.
Isn't that awesome?
I spent
you're passionate.
Yeah,
it's wonderful.
We can hear it.
You can see
very
it. It's an industry, you go, how can anybody get excited about it? And you really have lightened that up and made it where you want to educate people. And
I love to share it, yeah.
And share.
But you know what's great? I'm sharing, but 90% of the time I'm listening. It's me hearing, what do you do? Tell me more about your business. How do you, when you get up and walk in the office, what does that look like? When you go through your day, what does that look like? How many people do you have working? What does that job look like? So it's my, like, nosy neighbor.
Discovery.
Yeah, discovery, nosy neighbor side of me, you know.
Mrs. Kravitz.
Exactly. So I tell people my job all day is to geek out with business owners about what they do and understand it in a way that I can then articulate it to a carrier so they will get a good policy, a good quote, but also so I can think about, like, what could go wrong? Mm-hmm. And as positive as I am, as happy, bubbly as I am, I also kind of think people to death because that's part of the job. Like, what could possibly go wrong in this situation? How far can it go? And how do we help navigate mitigating that damage? How do we stop somebody from having a total injury, you know, something horrific? How do we make sure we have the right gear in place, the right training in place? All of that is part of, like, the thought process that you go through in risk management and insurance. And so I love doing it.
Well, working with all these different entrepreneurs in these classes and being, you know, pretty much an entrepreneur yourself, now that you're kind of running your own, you know, insurance business, what, if any, just generalized business advice would you give a new entrepreneur, no matter what the field might be, that you feel like was really valuable to you and you wanted to go off on your own, do your own thing?
So couple things, be detail oriented. Be detail oriented.
Okay, be detail oriented.
So, like, find your focus. Know what you want to do, what you like to do. Focus on working on the projects that you enjoy the most. Be okay with saying no to a client that's doing something that's outside of what you really are focused on. I know it's hard in the beginning when the money is tight to do that, but the reality is if you keep focusing on the things that you want to work on, more of that comes in. Mm-hmm. Don't be a shy. Ask for help. You don't know everything. I don't know everything. I ask for help every day. I'll care. If I have a question that I can't answer for a client, I get on the phone with the underwriter right away. Hey, I don't know what to tell this guy. Like, what does this mean? Why is this different from every other deal? Yes. Right, exactly. And I make them walk me through it, right? Just don't be shy. Stay positive. Assume positive intent. You get emails sometimes or, like, text messages, and you read them, and you're like, ooh, what did I do to this person? And then so I just pick up the phone. I'm like, hey, it's Jen. And the tone is like, oh, hey, did you get my message? Oh, I was. And it's like, well, that is not how it read.
Right.
In your head, it doesn't read that way.
We talk about that a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or not, it's.
Or that they, or know that she's just saying that they don't mean the negative intent, but it read that way. Yeah. Or the text message was written incorrectly. The one word changed the entire tone.
Exactly.
And then you think it's like a catastrophe.
Yes.
And then you pick up the phone and they're like, hey, what's up? I'm just checking about that email I sent. And you realize, oh, they're not yelling at me like I thought they were in the email.
They're not upset at all. They're literally just asking a question. And I'm a straight shooter too. I can be very direct. And so that's, for me, I'm like, I'm not going to fire back a message that's also direct because it may be read not
the
nice too,
well.
Right? As their key message comes to me and I'm like, whoa, was that abrasive or not? I just pick up the phone because I know, I'm like, hey, is everything good? Do you have a question? I read your message. Oh, yeah. I was just wondering, like, what we do here. And I was like, oh, that's so easy.
You know, it's that. The type of situation. Read with always assume positive intent.
Assume positive intent.
I love that.
That's a good
because
one.
Because it is quick. We are such a species, just a quick, just get defensive.
Yes.
And immediately think it's, there's some negative tone to
exactly.
it.
Exactly. And be, like, the other thing. Be grateful, right? Like, I have days like today where I am overwhelmed with the amount of work that has come in. Referrals, new business, renewal stuff. It's just a lot going on, right? And so sometimes you can look at that and be like, oh, I'm so overwhelmed, right? It's just so much. But the reality is I have the opportunity to help this many people and they want my help. They're coming for me, you know? So it's like just even when you're like super busy and just overrun, step back and think, wow, it's because I'm doing a good job and these people exactly. like working with me, you know?
One of the things I always hate and we always talk about this because we all go to so many different networking events, like you're, you know.
Yeah.
And when they're like, hey, how's it going? And it's always like the natural thing, like, oh my gosh, we're so busy. But I just wish there was like another thing to say than that.
Yes.
Just like, you know, not that I'm complaining, it's great, we're just busy. But yeah. I just hate that now. That's all you hear. It's like, yeah, I'm so busy this, I'm so busy that. Like, everyone's busy.
Yeah.
We all are busy.
Exactly.
But it's finding a different way to say that.
I try to think about when people ask me how things are going, I go, oh, if I have a cool client that I recently met with, a lot of times when I'm going into events, I think, oh, I have this cool client that makes lasers that I'm working on. And they're like, what? Like, it's like, I'm so busy because I'm trying to figure out how to write this thing. But like chasing every market in town to figure it out. But, I try to think about like what made me busy,
mm-hmm.
you know, what is the thing that I'm excited about the most that made me busy. And that's like a way to turn that conversation, you know, oh, I met this cool client or next week I'm teaching this class, you know, so I've got a lot going on. I'm teaching this class next week, but I'm pretty excited about it. I try to find a way to show the things that like you said, we all that bland,
some people
busy
are saying that
statement.
They're busy and they're doing busy work and they're not accomplishing their own goals and bringing them happiness and joy in their job. And I think like we are, I feel the same way. I'm so grateful. I'm grateful for a great team.
Yeah.
And that the phones are ringing and we're creating the busyness and creating people's memories.
Yeah.
So we've got to get back to really think about,
yeah.
Like you, I mean, amazing. You know, we started the wedding division and like the reviews are books. I'm going up her head. I can't get her in the door.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. Congratulations.
Yeah.
That's so exciting. Yeah. And I think that's it is when people ask you at an event, how are you? You can say, I'm great. I've got a ton of great new clients I'm working on.
This crazy bride is driving me insane.
No, that's not
I've
true.
Got a creative bride who has a lot of interesting solutions.
Well, you know, being so busy and being involved with the teaching and your own business and traveling, what is it that you like to do for you for just that's not related to work or networking, that's just something you like to do for fun?
So it's funny because I have a couple hobbies. I ride my bike. I have two bikes. I have a beach cruiser that I ride along our parks, Bayshore Boulevard and the Riverwalk and even down into Ybor. And it's a beach cruiser with a big basket on the front. And everybody knows me because it's me and my two little puppy dogs. And they sit in the basket and their ears are up because, like, big dogs like to look out the car window. My 5-pound Yorkies can't see out the car window, so they ride in the basket with their ears up.
I love that. My dog Bella would just be...
She'd jump out.
They love it.
Oh, God.
Yeah. And it makes my day, but the thing that really makes my day is every person that I pass, you hear, oh, puppy, and they smile and point. And it's like, well, I probably maybe made some other people's days by seeing
Teddy
and
Puppy. That would be my day when I see puppies. It's just smile
on my face. So that's like.
And then what's the other bike?
I have a road bike. It's a cycling road bike, and I ride with a group of people, and we ride Bayshore. Actually, this past Sunday, we rode from Bay to Bay and Bayshore out to Thanonasassa and back.
Wow.
So
and back?
56 miles. Yeah, it was a big
one. How long
did
that take?
Couple hours. I think it was like 3 hours, 3.5 hours or four.
I
would have been able to walk the next day.
Yeah, it was a big one. I haven't done anything more than 40 miles in a little while. So 56 was like, wow.
Wow. Woke up those legs.
So Monday was sore.
Is that a club?
It's a group. Yep. There's a cycling shop, Outspoken Bikes here on Del Mabry, and they host a lot of that, a lot of the club rides and group rides. So varying degrees, that was a big Sunday ride for me and for some of the other
folks. I'd be calling someone to pick me up.
There was a moment. We were out there, because there's rolling hills out there. Uh-huh. You know, you don't think about this, but I train on, like, Bayshore and Davis Island, where it's all flat. And then I get out there in Sonoma Sassa, and we're doing these hills, and I'm trying to keep up at, like, 18 or 20 miles an hour on hills.
Right?
And I'm not electric.
I need an electric one.
Human-powered. So you're just pedaling away, like, hoping that you can hang on the back of the pack so you don't get left behind. I mean, they won't. Leave you, but
I'll be right here when you guys turn back. Yeah. I'll be waiting when you come back.
There was a couple moments like that on Sunday, but I kept up and I made it to the stop and then made it all the way back.
Do you do that every weekend?
We do different rides every weekend, but yep, Sunday. Yeah. We ride out over the Courtney Campbell into
I've done that ride. I actually really enjoy that.
It's a good ride. Yeah. It's a very good ride.
Yeah. And then my husband and I have done that like twice. Once every all the time. We don't get very many weekends, so
with your role. Yeah. That's
fun.
Yeah, and then when you get over there, you go to Safety Harbor. There's this great coffee shop. I can't remember what it's called, like Carriage House or something House Coffee Shop.
So much down the Safety Harbor.
Yeah, Safety Harbor's got a really cute area.
Yeah, it's such a
nice downtown ride. Is very nice.
Yeah.
It's fun.
So that's like, I mean, for fun, that reading.
Any new books you would like to share?
Oh, what did I just read?
Are you like a nonfiction or a fiction kind of reader?
So I have been reading like business self-help books. My dear banker over, Hanisha over at Pilot Bank, lent me two of her favorite books. And I cannot remember. There's one is The Nordstrom's Way. And the other is Raving Fans. And I will recommend both of those books. So they're good business self-help. I think actually Hanisha's going
to
start a little book club down
like
there.
Let me know. So, I like her. I'd like to join that.
Yeah.
She'd
love to have you.
I got to have an audio, though.
Yeah. Well, you know, the library, you can do that, right? If you have the Hillsborough County Library card, you can do
Audibles
on Overdrive. I have a ton of books that I just go through Overdrive. I recently read Michelle Obama's book. That was fantastic.
Yeah, that's my friend just read that one, and she was going to give it to me.
Yeah, Becoming.
You were at the luncheon where Lisa, the author, the Working Women's Luncheon, Lisa was at... I got two of her books.
Is it Under Her Skin? Yeah. Lisa Fabulous.
That's what it's called, Under Her Skin, I believe.
That was a great book, too.
I listened to only Audibles, like a two-hour drive, you know, a day. So yeah. It's really helped me be sane. I had to get away from the motivational and business books.
Yeah.
I was driving my team crazy.
Yeah.
And just too much in my head. So there's sometimes you just have to just find a way to
It's a hit or miss thing with me too. Like I will do like the other two books, you know, I read those and then I moved into the business driven book. So I go back and forth. I don't just stick with one theme because I'll drive myself.
Drive ourselves
way.
Crazy.
Then it's like, let's do this.
Non-stop.
There's so many great ideas and you never like decompress or shut it down ever.
Exactly. Yeah. And I'm with the cycling, I've picked up triathlons. I just sprints, little teeny tiny triathlons. So I'm reading books on that too. So that's kind of like where my realm is right now.
How about podcasts? Anything?
You know, I started on podcasts and then I had to step back from them because I was trying to listen to them while I was at my computer. And it just, the two things don't function together. Like music is good. Mm-hmm. But like hearing
you can either zone out of work and totally zone in the podcast, or you have to re-listen to the podcast because you completely zoned out.
You got it. Exactly.
What's that? I've done that.
Yeah. When I have long car drives, I do like an Audible, or I'll download some podcasts or something. So it just depends, like what's coming up. But I haven't been driving that much outside of the
day. Don't go too far.
No,
we're gonna follow 2 mile route. Used to be a 2 mile radius. They used to make fun of me.
Yeah,
she doesn't go south of Kennedy or north of Kennedy or whatever.
Yeah, like, north of Kennedy, south of Kennedy.
I'm happy right here. 2 mile now, it's like 45 minutes to an hour. I go, give me an audible.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
It's like taking a
but pill. It does pass the time.
Yeah,
quickly. Or even like if you take like a long flight, like you have a long flight coming up. It's like
I have a bunch.
Get some good books.
Yeah, you have a lot of books. Better
you
make sure the Wi-Fi's working.
Really good books and download them. So you make sure you have an extra charger so when it dies, you can recharge everything.
Exactly. I think they have them now. I don't know if the airplanes have them where they have the charger places on them.
When I flew to Europe, we had it on our airplane flight.
Cool.
Some flights. No, I don't think the domestic flights have them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I will be downloading some books. So if anybody wants to give me recommendations on books and podcasts, I will take them because I will be in the plane.
We have to subscribe to Breeze and Chats and listen to the podcast we've done so far here.
And hopefully maybe we'll ask them to get your chats up by the time you go and it will be 45 minutes to an hour.
Awesome. Perfect.
And that you can share. For sure. What do you do with the Hyde Park with the dogs?
So Historic Hyde Park Neighborhood Association is championing a dog park on Swan Avenue at the Hyde Park Park, which is that park that runs along Swan by the Winn-Dixie. Mm-hmm. And we've been working in conjunction with a neighborhood that's renamed itself from Courier City to Soho, which is the neighborhood north of Swan Avenue, west of the crosstown, and like all along Soho there. Mm-hmm. And Parkland Estates has been working very diligently on this project as well. We were told in 2015 that the city budget was for capital improvements for parks and recs had been allocated towards the Julian B. Lane project. So we're waiting for the next 5-year capital improvement budget to be written. So that was 15, so 2020. I think it might have been the 16 budget. So it's like 2020 or 2021 is when they're going to be revisiting where they can start doing capital improvements on parks again. And we've just tried to keep ourselves on the top of the radar. We have some funds that we've raised. The Hyde Park Community Fund is a nonprofit that was founded by the neighborhood associations to do park beautification. Mm-hmm. And so we have some money sitting in that earmarked specifically for that park, where we have sold some benches and some bricks and things like that that people have purchased. We're not chasing that right now because it's a lot of record keeping when we're still like 2 years out from even getting into the budget and then finding out what step we are.
It's like here.
Yeah.
In our world, it's
right.
here.
Yeah.
Like, it's for sure.
Craziness.
10 months away.
Yeah. Yeah. So that project will hopefully be going forward in the next, through the next administration when they get to the new budget cycle for Parks and Rec. So we just keep putting the buzz in their ear. Hey, we're still out here.
We're not going away. Yeah.
And that park needs quite a bit of work too, just like overall overhaul at the whole park there.
Yeah, I've only ever seen it like people playing like kickball or like a kickball league and that's it. Is that right there, that big grassy area?
So there's a softball, there is a baseball field and a t-ball field. The t-ball field went defunct like 15 years ago where they stopped using it for t-ball activities. There are two very competitive leagues in Tampa. There's one in Palmasia and there's one on Davis Island.
Right.
And so most parents are putting their kids in those leagues. So they're not using that small t-ball field, which is where people had inadvertently started putting their dogs and letting them run free without any of the amenities, right? Without having like bag pickup, without, you know,
the water fountains and all
the necessities. Yeah. Exactly. And it doesn't interact with the street well. So you come out of Hyde Park or you come down out of the neighborhood right there and you hit this kind of like dead zone, right? Where there's just, it feels deactivated because it's just a fence that feels like a wall instead of having like a welcoming feeling to that area. So that when people are traversing between all those neighborhoods, they feel like they're part of something. They're in a space that's being utilized.
I think it's a necessary thing over there.
Yeah.
And I appreciate all the dog parks going up around everywhere. I mean, the Carrollwood, and they just opened like within the month a new dog park. And I had no idea like the empty space was there. We took the dogs there now, and I've got three, so I need somewhere to run them around.
Yeah.
And I just appreciate all the dog friendly places that are popping up, and dog friendly hotels, and the dog friendly, you know, all the dog parks. People are really taking notice that there are a lot of dog owners that love their dogs.
Well, that's true. There are a lot of dog owners in our area. There's a lot of restaurants that if they have outdoor spaces, they're comfortable with you bringing your pets there as long as you have a friendly pet or a pet and they're on leash. And a lot of people see their pets as part of their family. Mm-hmm. So it's just an extension of them to be out with their family. You know, there's some studies that show that like dog ownership in a neighborhood is a good thing because when you're walking down the street at night, and you pass another person, if they're walking a dog, you don't get nervous. But if they're not walking a dog, whoever they are, you may have like a little apprehension about who is that person? What are they doing on the street? You know, do I recognize them? Don't I recognize them? So when somebody's out walking their dog, it kind of gives that sense of community that there are other people around, that they're there for a friendly reason. So it's a very comforting thing in communities to have people actually out walking their dogs. So having a dog park in an area that's so like young family centric and young professional centric where you see a lot of dogs as pets is an important amenity in our city. Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
Well, I have really loved getting to know you. I can't believe as long as I've known you had any idea of even half of the things that we've learned about you today.
And thank you.
I'm just glad you were part of our 40 under 40. Like Cindy had said, the process was, you know, we were able to submit names of people we thought would be a good opportunity to be in the magazine, but then we had no say on any other part of that. It was an outside company that was hired through the editor of our magazine to basically put you guys through the process and pick and choose who really was deserving of that title. And so all of our entrepreneurs and people that made in the magazine, we were so proud of. But we'd like to say, oh, we put you in there, but we didn't. It was really you and your accomplishments and you know what you've done in your business that got in the magazine. So we're glad to have you on.
Well, thank
you. Yeah, I do want to ask you, what's in the future for you?
So it's current, actually. I'm currently a candidate for Hillsborough County Commission District 1 through all of the activist work that I've been doing with my neighborhood association, dog park, street issues that we had. Being president of a neighborhood association, you get to know the city really well.
Tell the listeners, District 1, where is that?
Sure. Yeah. So District 1 is it's what we call the coastal district of Hillsborough County Commission. It starts down near Apollo Beach. It hugs the coast, come up through downtown, Davis Island, Harbor Island, the entire South Tampa Peninsula, the west side of West Tampa, Dana Shores, Town and Country, south side of Lime Ball, so the south side of West Chase. And basically when you get out to like Sheldon Road, it's a good idea would be like Sheldon Road to the Pinellas County line, mm-hmm. all the way north till you hit the Pasco County line at the top. So it's like this little
district here?
Yep, we are. Mm-hmm. And there are two, in the last major election cycle, there were 207,000 voters in my district. Mm-hmm. So it's a pretty interesting district. It's divided pretty evenly. Democrat, Republican, no party affiliate. So it's a well-divided district with a lot of different interests. But one thing it does have across the board in common is the beautiful land that we have and the beautiful waterfront that we face. So we have all the challenges that come with mm-hmm. the waterfront and also all of the beauty and wonderful, exciting things that we get to do.
Have you set up a website that you can tell the listeners about that we can tell them about so they can check you out?
My website is votejenmcdonald.com. And you can find that online. And it is a little light right now. I have not gone in and done a refresh since we just launched the campaign. So we're due for a refresh soon.
Well, awesome. Please, we're honored to have you and know you. So we have a beautiful front yard out here at Breezin. You're welcome to put a sign out. We'd
Thank
love
you.
To support you.
Definitely.
Yeah. And tell our people about you. So if there's anything that we can do, we're proud of you. You're a beautiful young woman inside and outside. I've watched you with people and I like you.
Oh, thank you.
And
I like
so
you too.
I think that you come across that way, I think you would be an amazing candidate, and I hope you wish you the best of luck with that.
Thank you. That means a lot coming from you, Cindy. It's great to see somebody who's a leader in the community and hear them say nice things about you. It makes you a little emotional.
Yeah, it does. Me too. I always get teary-eyed when I talk about people I care about and stuff. But I just admire you because you're doing things, you're young and you're inspirational and, you know, you got this drive. Like, I've never been driven to be in the politics world and et cetera. Yeah. And everything you seem to start that you're doing seems to just gravitate to the same thing. So I think that you will speak well for the community.
Thank you.
So best of luck and thank you. And thank you for your support.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me. And I'm truly honored for the being considered in your 40 under 40. There were some fantastic people in that group. And I just can't thank you all enough for even considering me and allowing me to apply. So thank you.
Awesome.
Have a breezin' day.